call. Stay.
Puzzled, Call stayed as Tamara, Jasper, and Havoc moved a few feet away. Aaron looked exhausted. Call suspected they all did. The after effects of the air magic were beginning to catch up with him, flattening out the adrenaline that had been keeping him going. No 20-minute nap was going to help. He felt as though he might fall over. Aaron took a deep breath and raised the hand that wasn't holding Call's wrist. His fingers shone with a black glow. The darkness spilled down like acid, spreading across the ground, dissolving it. Call could feel the pull and tug inside him that meant Aaron was drawing on him to work chaos. Aaron's eyes were closed, fingers digging into Call's skin. Aaron, Call said, but Aaron didn't react. Soil was churning at their feet like a whirlpool. It was hard to see what was happening, but the force of it shook the ground. Tamara held on to Jasper to keep upright.
Aaron!
For the first time, Call could imagine how the enemy of death's brother, Jericho, had died. Constantine might have gotten so caught up in the magic he was doing that he forgot about his brother until it was too late. Aaron wrenched his grip free of Call's arm. He was breathing hard. The dust of disturbed earth had begun to settle, and Call and the others could see that Aaron had torn a chunk of the ground free, hollowing out a sort of hole, hidden from sight, by an overhang of grassy rock.
"You made us a dirt cave," Jasper said.
"Huh."
Aaron's sweaty hair was stuck to his forehead, and when he looked at Jasper, Call thought that he might be seriously considering disappearing him into the void.
"Let's rest," Tamara said.
"Call, I know you're in a hurry to get to Alistair, but we're all tired, and the air magic wiped us out."
She did look a little gray. So did Jasper.
"Let's hide out until we all have our strength back."
Call wanted to object, but he couldn't. He was just too tired. He crawled into the cave and flopped down on the ground. He wished for a blanket, and that was his last thought before he dropped into sleep, falling as quickly and as deeply as if he'd been struck in the back of the head. When he woke, the sun was setting in a blaze of orange. Tamara was slumbering beside him, one hand in Havoc's fur. On Tamara's other side, Aaron was tossing fitfully, his eyes closed. Jasper slept too, his jacket wadded up as a pillow beneath his head. Call heard a rustling sound outside the cave. He wondered if it was some kind of animal. Digging around in his pack, he found a half-eaten candy bar and made short work of it. He wasn't sure how long he'd been resting, but he knew he felt more awake and alert than he had since they'd embarked on this mission. A strange calm settled over him.
"I should leave them," he thought.
They'd come far enough. He'd never had friends like this, friends who were willing to risk everything to help him. He didn't want to reward his friends by leading them to their doom. Then Call heard another rustling, closer this time. It didn't sound like an animal, more like a herd, moving slowly and quietly through the brush. He revised his plan rapidly.
"Tamara, wake up,"
Call whispered, poking her with his foot.
"Something's out there."
She rolled over and opened her eyes.
"Mmph. Out there,"
he repeated softly.
"Something."
She poked Aaron and he got Jasper up, both of them yawning and groaning at being awoken.
"I don't hear anything,"
Jasper complained.
"Let's check it out,"
Aaron whispered.
"Come on."
"What if it's the mages?"
Tamara said quietly.
"Maybe we should just hunker down?"
Call shook his head.
"If they come in here, there's nowhere to run. We're literally backed against a wall."
No one could deny that, so they got their stuff and, tugging Havoc along, emerged from the cave. Night was falling.
"You've lost it," Jasper said. "There's nothing out here."
But then they all heard it, a rustling that came from two places at once.
"Maybe the mage has found us," Aaron said. "Maybe we could..."
But it wasn't a mage that stepped out of the foliage. It was a chaos-ridden human who emerged, slack-faced and staring with coruscating eyes that spun with colors like a kaleidoscope. He was huge, dressed in ragged black clothes. Looking more closely, Call realized they were the remains of a uniform, a ripped, old, mud-stained, blood-soaked uniform. There was an emblem over his heart, but in the gloom, Call couldn't make out what it was. Jasper had gone papery white. He'd never seen one of the chaos ridden before, Call realized. Call had only long enough to be horrified when another one stepped out to his left. He spun, clutching Miri in his hand, just as a third surged out of some undergrowth to his right, and then another. And another. And another. All pallid and sunken-eyed, a flood of chaos-ridden coming from all sides. The enemy's army outnumbered them.
What do we do?
Gasped Jasper. He had grabbed up a stick from the forest floor and was brandishing it. Tamara was shaping a fireball between her hands. They were steady, but her expression was panicked.
"Get behind me," Aaron ordered. "All of you."
Jasper moved behind him with alacrity. Tamara was still working on her fireball, but she was already behind Aaron. Most of the chaos-ridden were massed on the opposite side of the clearing, staring at them with their whirling eyes. Their silence was eerie.
"I won't," Call said. He didn't feel afraid. He didn't know why.
"You can't. I'm your counterweight, and I can tell you're not rested enough. You just used chaos magic. It's too soon to do it again."
Aaron's jaw was set.
"I have to try."
"There's too many of them," Call argued as the army began to advance. "The chaos will consume you."
"I'll take them down with me," Aaron said grimly.
"Better this than the Alkahest, right?"
"Aaron."
"I'm sorry," Aaron said, and ran toward them, skidding across pine needles. Tamara looked up from her fireball and screamed,
"Aaron, duck!"
He ducked. She threw the fire. It arced over Aaron's head, landing among the mass of the chaos-ridden, and exploded. Some of the chaos-ridden caught fire, but they kept coming. Their expressions didn't change, even when they fell down, still burning. Now Call was more afraid than he could remember being. Aaron was nearing the first line of the enemy army. He held his hand up, chaos beginning to whirl and grow in his palm like a tiny hurricane. It swirled upward. The chaos-ridden reached Aaron. They seemed to swallow him up among them for a moment, and Call's stomach dropped into his shoes. Call started to stumble toward them, and halted. He could see Aaron again, standing stock still, looking bewildered. The chaos-ridden were walking around him, making no move to touch him at all, like water parting around a rock in a stream. They marched past Aaron, and Call could hear Jasper and Tamara breathing harshly because the chaos-ridden were moving in their direction now. Maybe they wanted to take out the weak ones before starting on Aaron. Call was the only one with a knife, although he wasn't sure how much Miri would help. He wondered if he'd die here, protecting Tamara and Jasper and Aaron. It was a heroic way to go, at least. Maybe it would prove he wasn't what his father thought. The chaos-ridden had reached them. Aaron was trying to push his way through, trying to reach his friends. The first of the chaos-ridden, the huge man with the spiked wristbands, came to a stop in front of Call. Call tightened his grip on Miri. Whatever else, he would go down fighting. The chaos-ridden spoke. Its voice sounded like a croak, rusty from disuse.
Master,
it said, fixing its whirling eyes on Call.
We have waited for you for so long.
The first chaos-ridden knelt down in front of Call. And then the next chaos-ridden knelt. And the next. Until they were all on their knees, and Aaron was standing among them, staring at Call, across the clearing, with a look of disbelief.
Chapter 13
Master!
Said the leader of the chaos-ridden, or at least that's what Call assumed he was.
Shall we kill the Makar for you?
No, Call said quickly, horrified. No, just... Stay where you are, stay, he added, as if he were talking to Havoc. None of the chaos-ridden moved. Aaron began walking toward Call, boots crunching on pine needles. He navigated his way gingerly among the kneeling army.
What? Said Jasper. Is going on?
Call felt a hand on his shoulder. Whirling around, he saw it was Tamara. She was staring at the chaos-ridden. She ripped her gaze away from them and fastened it on Call.
Tell us what this all means, she said. Tell us what you are to them.
It was there, in her voice. Even if she didn't know the answer already, she strongly suspected it. Call had thought Tamara would look angry, figuring this out, but she didn't.
She looked incredibly sad, which was worse.
Call? Aaron asked. He was standing only a couple of feet from Call now, but it felt like a long way away. He stood there uncertainly, trying not to look around him at the chaos-ridden who remained on their knees, awaiting a command. Call looked over them, some of their bodies young and some old, but none of them beneath 14 years of age, none of them younger than he was. Tamara shook her head.
You were mad at me for lying to you. Don't lie to us now.
There was a torturously terrible pause. Jasper was staring, and still grasping his stick as if that would protect him. But Aaron was looking at Call hopefully, as if he expected Call to be able to clear all of this up, and that was the worst.
I'm the enemy of death, Call said.
The chaos-ridden made a noise, a sort of long sigh, all of them, at once. None of them moved, but it served as an awful testament to what Call was saying.
I'm Constantine Madden, or whatever's left of him.
That's not possible, Aaron said, speaking slowly, as if he thought Call had hit his head too hard.
The enemy of death is alive. He's at war with us.
No, Master Joseph is, said Call. He stumbled on through the explanation he'd been given, the one he didn't want to understand. The enemy of death was dying at the Cold Massacre. He pushed his soul into the body of a baby. He swallowed.
That baby was me.
My soul is Constantine Madden's soul.
I am Constantine. You mean you killed the real Column Hunt and took his place?
Jasper accused. Fire ignited in his palm, spreading up the bark of the stick he held until the tip of it burst into flame. It was probably the best display of fire magic Jasper had ever achieved, but he barely seemed to notice.
Quickly. We have to destroy him before he kills us all, before he kills the Makar. Aaron, you have to run.
Aaron remained exactly where he was, though, staring at Call with a mix of disbelief and misery.
But you can't be, he said finally. You're my best friend.
The chaos-ridden leader lurched to his feet, All the other chaos-ridden rose as well, like an army of puppets. They began to march toward Jasper, passing around Call as if he weren't there.
"Wait!" Call shouted. "Don't! Everyone stop!"
Nothing happened. The dead-eyed warriors kept coming. They weren't moving fast, but they were moving steadily toward Jasper, who wasn't backing away. The flame in Jasper's hand still burned, and there was a terrible look in his eyes, as though he was ready to die fighting. It was a far cry from the Jasper who had complained throughout the trip, the Jasper who whined over minor injuries. This Jasper appeared fearless. But Call knew it wouldn't do Jasper any good. However fearless he was, he couldn't hold his own against hundreds of chaos-ridden. Call had been terrified before, when they had obeyed him. Now he was terrified that they wouldn't.
"Stop!"
he shouted again, in a ringing voice.
"You who are born of chaos and the void, stop! I command it!"
They lurched to a stop. Jasper was breathing hard. Tamara was at his side, light burning in her palm. Aaron had moved toward them as well. His heart lurched. His friends ranged against him.
"I didn't know," Call said,
hearing the pleading in his own voice.
"When I came to the Magisterium, I didn't know."
They all stared at him. Finally, Tamara spoke.
"I believe you, Call," she said.
Call swallowed and went on.
"Most of the time it doesn't even seem possible. I'm not going to hurt anyone, okay? But, Jasper, if you go for me, the chaos-ridden are going to kill you. I don't know if I can stop them."
"So when did you find out?"
Aaron demanded.
"That you were...
what you are."
"At the bowling alley last year,"
Call said.
"Master Joseph told me, but I didn't want to believe him. I think my dad always suspected, though." "And that's why he threw such a fit when you didn't flunk out of the Magisterium," Jasper said. "Because he knew you were evil. He knew you were a monster."
Call flinched.
"That's why he wanted Master Rufus to bind your magic," said Aaron.
Call hadn't realized how much he had wanted Aaron to contradict Jasper. Until he didn't.
"Listen, here's the part I couldn't explain. Because it wouldn't have made sense before. My dad doesn't want to hurt Aaron with the Alkahest. He wants to use it to fix me."
"Fix you?"
Jasper said. "He should kill you."
"Maybe,"
Call said.
"But he definitely doesn't deserve to die for it."
"Okay, so what do you want, Call?"
Aaron asked.
"The same things I wanted before,"
Call shouted.
"I want to get the Alkahest and give it back to the Collegium. I want to save my father. I don't want to have any more awful secrets."
"But you don't want to defeat the enemy of death," said Jasper.
"I am the enemy of death,"
Call yelled.
"We have already defeated the enemy. I'm on your side."
"Really?"
Jasper shook his head.
"So if I said I wanted to leave, would you tell the Chaos-ridden to stop me?"
Call hesitated for a long moment, with Tamara and Aaron watching him. Finally, Call said,
"Yeah, I'd stop you.
That's what I thought.
We're too close to the end,"
Call tried to explain.
"Too close to my dad. He still has the Alkahest. He's still going to give it to Master Joseph, and Master Joseph won't use it to kill me. He wants me alive. He'll kill my dad. He'll kill Aaron. Then who knows what he'll do after that? We have to finish."
He stared at them, willing them to understand. After a long, long moment, Tamara gave a tiny nod.
"So what next?" she asked.
Call turned to the chaos-ridden.
"Take us to Master Joseph," Call commanded. "Escort us there. Don't hurt any of us, and do not tell him we're coming."
The chaos-ridden began to move, flanking Call. Aaron, Tamara, and Jasper were being moved along, herded, surrounded. They walked in a narrow path, surrounded by corpse-like bodies. It reminded Call of biblical paintings of the Red Sea parting. There was nowhere to go but in the direction the chaos-ridden went, and no pace to walk but the pace they set. They marched through the dark forest, in dead silence, the crackle of pine needles underfoot. Havoc marched along happily, at home with others of his kind. With every step, Call felt a terrible loneliness overtake him. After this, there would be no return to the Magisterium. There would be no more friends, no more lessons from Master Rufus, no more meals of lichen in the refectory or games with Celia in the gallery. At least Havoc would come with him, although Call wasn't sure where they'd go. They walked for what felt like a long time, long enough for Call's leg to ache intensely. He could feel himself slowing down, could feel the majority of the chaos-ridden slow to keep pace with him. So, basically, he was setting the pace. Aaron stepped to his side. "You were going to be my counterweight," he said. And only when he said it in the past tense did Call realize with a sinking heart how much he'd wanted to do it. "I didn't know," he said, "when I offered. I don't want to have to fight you," Aaron went on. Jasper and Tamara were walking up ahead, Tamara speaking urgently to Jasper. "I don't want to, but that's what's going to happen, isn't it? That's our destiny, to kill each other." "You don't really believe I want to kill you, do you?" Call said. "If I wanted to kill you, I could have. I could have killed you in your sleep. I could have killed you a million times over. I could have chopped your head right off."
"That's convincing," Aaron muttered.
"Tamara!" She dropped back to walk with them. Jasper continued to stalk ahead, a few chaos-ridden alongside him.
"Why did you say what you said back there?" Aaron asked. "That you believed Call?"
"Because he tried to flunk out of the Magisterium," said Tamara. "He really didn't want to go. If he'd known he was Constantine Madden, he would have tried to get on the Master's side, to spy on them. Instead, he just pissed all of them off. Besides," she added, "Constantine Madden was famously charming, and Call obviously isn't."
"Thank you,"
Call said, wincing at the pain in his leg. He wasn't sure how much longer he could go on without resting.
"That was heartwarming."
"Also," Tamara said, "there are some things you can't fake."
Before Call could ask her what she meant, his foot hit a root, and he stumbled, falling to his knees. The chaos-ridden halted abruptly, those in front of Jasper turning and stopping him with their hands to his chest. Call groaned and rolled over, trying to stand. One of the chaos-ridden lifted him, holding him as easily as Call himself might have held a cat. It was embarrassing and, even more embarrassingly, a relief.
"We will carry you the rest of the way, Master,"
the chaos-ridden told him.
"That's probably not the best idea," Call said. "The others..."
One of the chaos-ridden grabbed hold of Tamara, slinging her over his back. She struggled in his grasp.
"Call!"
she shouted, panicked. Two of them hauled Aaron off his feet, while a fifth lifted a kicking and screaming Jasper into the air.
"We will carry them all,"
the chaos-ridden, holding Call, told him. But that didn't seem to calm them down any.
"We can move more swiftly this way."
Call was so surprised that he didn't give any orders at all, even as the chaos-ridden's steps came more swiftly. They began to lope, and then run. Havoc alongside them. They ran and ran, covering so much ground that Call couldn't imagine himself walking it. This close, Call had expected the chaos-ridden to smell like rot. They were supposed to be the dead, after all, reanimated by void magic. But their odor was more mushroomy, not unpleasant, just strange.
Aaron looked uncomfortable. Tamara looked exhilarated and terrified in equal measure, but Jasper's expression was unreadable to Cole, a blankness that might have been fear or despair, or nothing at all.
"Cole, what are they doing?"
Tamara shouted over to him. Cole shrugged awkwardly.
"Carrying us? I think they're trying to be helpful."
"I don't like this," Aaron said, sounding like he was on a particularly dizzying ride.
Faster the chaos-ridden went, magic propelling them forward, through the woods, over fallen leaves, through streams and over stones, through brush and ferns and bramble. Then, as quickly as they began, the chaos-ridden halted their march. Cole found his feet, dropped down on the sand of a beach, the slivered moon above them casting a silver path over the water. The chaos-ridden began to move in more tightly, the path between them narrowing as they made their way down the beach. Cole could hear the ocean, the lap of the waves. Three rowboats were tied to poles out in the water, rolling gently with the tide. If Cole squinted, he could make out a stretch of land in the distance, visible only because it interrupted the reflection of moonlight.
"Evil Island?"
Jasper asked. Cole snorted, surprised that Jasper had said something. He was probably being serious, Cole decided, as this seemed an unlikely time for him to acquire a sense of humor.
"Chaos-ridden," Cole said. "How do we get across?"
At his words, three of the chaos-ridden waded into the sea. First, they were up to their thighs in the water, then it was at their waists, then their necks, then it covered their heads completely.
"Wait!"
Cole shouted.
But they were gone.
Had he just put them to death? Could they die? A moment later, pale hands rose from the sea, untying the rope binding the boats. And then, pulled by unseen hands, the boats floated toward shore. The chaos-ridden rose from the depths, their faces impassive as ever.
"Huh," Aaron said.
"I guess we get in," Tamara said, going to one of the boats.
"Aaron, get in the boat with Call."
"How does that make sense?" Jasper demanded.
Tamara looked at the chaos-ridden.
"So the Makar can't get drowned before Cole stops them."
Jasper opened his mouth to object, and then shut it again. Cole climbed gingerly into the boat. Aaron followed him. Jasper settled himself in the second boat, and Tamara took Havoc and went to the third. The chaos-ridden dragged them out to sea. For all the driving Cole had done with Alistair, the only boats he'd been on were ferries carrying a vintage car or some other antique object back from some semi-remote location where Alistair had purchased it. That and the little boats that navigated the tunnels of the Magisterium. Cole had never been so low in the water, out on the open sea. The waves were black in every direction, the spray icy on his cheeks and salty enough to sting his mouth.
He was scared.
The chaos-ridden were terrifying, and the fact they listened to him didn't make them any less monstrous. His friends wanted to get away from him, maybe even hurt him. And still ahead were his father and Master Joseph, both unpredictable and dangerous. Aaron was sitting, hunched up at the prow of the boat. Cole wanted to say something to him, but guessed that anything he had to say wouldn't be welcomed. The chaos-ridden walked along, under the sea, pulling the boats with them. Cole could see their heads beneath the waves.
Finally, the patch of land ahead of them resolved into a landscape. The island was small, not more than a few miles across, and densely covered in trees.
The chaos-ridden pulled the small craft up the beach with their wet hands. Cole clambered out of the boat, Aaron after him, and joined Tamara and Jasper on the shore. Tamara had been holding on to Havoc by his ruff. Havoc barked and scampered over to Cole.
They all watched as wave after wave of the chaos-ridden came up on shore like drowned pirates from a ghost story.
"Master!"
the leader said when they were all assembled. He had stationed himself near Call like a bodyguard.
"Your tomb."
At first, Call misheard him.
"Your home."
The thing had seemed to say for a single, hopeful moment. But those weren't the words at all. Call stumbled, nearly falling in the sand.
"Tomb?"
Aaron gave him a strange look.
"Follow,"
said the chaos-ridden leader, setting off through the woods. The rest of the army crowded around, their bodies dripping, and herded Call and the others toward a path. It wasn't lit, but it was wide, with white stones that caught the light marking the edges. He wondered what would happen if he ordered the chaos-ridden to walk single file. Would they do it? Did they have to? Then, with that thought in his head, he began to have other, giddy and strange imaginings of what he could command the chaos-ridden to do. Line dance, or hop on one foot. He imagined the entire advancing army of the enemy of death hopping into battle on a single foot. A small, crazed giggle escaped his mouth. Tamara looked over at him, worriedly.
"Nothing like your evil overlord cracking up," he thought,
and then had to tamp down another completely inappropriate burst of nervous laughter. That was when the path took a sudden turn, and he saw it. A massive building of gray stone. It looked old and weathered by years and sea air. Two crescent-shaped doors formed the entrance. Set high on one of the doors was a knocker, in the shape of a human head. The archway was carved with words in Latin. Ultima forsan. Ultima forsan. Ultima forsan.
What does it mean?
Call wondered aloud.
"It means the time is closer than you think," said the leader. "Master."
"I think it means something about the last hour," Tamara said. "My Latin isn't great."
Call looked at her, puzzled.
"It means the time is closer than you think."
Jasper looked surprised.
"That's right. It does."
"Call, why do you ask if you already knew?" Aaron said.
"Because I didn't know until he told me," Call said, exasperated. He pointed at the leader of the chaos-ridden. "Didn't you hear him?"
There was another horrible silence.
"Call,"
Tamara said slowly,
"are you saying those things are talking to you? We knew you were talking to them, but haven't heard them talking back."
"Mostly him," Call said, jabbing a finger toward the leader, who looked impassive. "But yeah, I can hear them talking, and didn't you hear him back in the clearing when he called me master?"
Tamara shook her head. "They're not saying words," she said quietly.
"Just mumbling and groaning, and making weird sounds like muffled screams,"
put in Aaron.
"It sounds like they're speaking perfect English to me," said Call.
"That's because you're like them," Jasper spat. "Their souls are all hollowed out and they're nothing inside, and neither are you. You're nothing but the enemy."
"The enemy made these creatures," Aaron said, stuffing his hands in his pockets. "He would have had to understand them because they served him. And you understand them because
I am him," said Call.
It wasn't anything they didn't know. Just another horrible piece of proof.
"I'm so creepy, I'm creeping myself out," he muttered.
"Master," said the leader, "your tomb awaits."
He clearly expected Call to step up to the huge mausoleum and walk right in. And Call was going to have to. This was their destination. This was where Master Joseph was going to meet Alistair. Call squared his shoulders and started toward the door.
Havoc bounced along beside him, clearly in his element. Behind Havoc came Aaron, Tamara, and Jasper.
"Oh my God!"
he heard Tamara say in a horrified voice. It took him a second to realize what she was reacting to. What he had taken for a door knocker in the shape of a head was actually a real, severed, human head, mounted on the door like the head of a deer. It had belonged to a girl who didn't look much older than the rest of them, a girl who must have been killed recently. She would barely look dead at all if it wasn't for the fact that the skin around the base of her neck was cut raggedly across. Her mahogany hair, blown by the wind, whipped around her oddly familiar face. Tears sprang to Tamara's eyes, rolling over her cheeks. She wiped them with the back of her hand, but otherwise didn't even seem to notice that they were falling.
"It can't be,"
she said, walking closer to the door. Cole felt like he'd seen the girl's face before.
But where?
Maybe at the party at the Rajavi estate? Maybe she was one of Tamara's friends? But why would her head be displayed here, like a grisly trophy?
"Verity Torres,"
Jasper said quietly, the words coming out almost like a whisper.
"They never found her body."
Cole was struck by how lost Aaron looked, shivering in his thin shirt, staring at the last Makar who'd defended the Magisterium. If he'd lived a generation earlier, this would have been him. His head nailed up there as a terrible warning.
"No."
Aaron blinked hard, like he could dispel the vision in front of him.
"No, it can't be her. It can't."
Call felt like he was going to throw up. Then the eyes on the head opened to show milky marbles without pupil or iris. Tamara gave a little cry. Jasper put a hand over his mouth. The dead lips moved, and words came out.
"As my name means truth, I assure you I am what remains of Verity Torres. Here sleep the dead, and the dead guard them. If you desire entrance, 3 riddles I will ask you. Answer them correctly, and you may go inside."
Cole looked at the others helplessly. He'd been counting on the fact that he was Constantine Madden to get them into the building, but the head of Verity Torres obviously didn't recognize him.
"Riddles?"
Tamara said in a quavering voice.
"Fine. We can do riddles."
"What do you call something that's not behind you?"
the girl asked, in an odd voice that didn't quite line up with the way her mouth moved.
"Oh no, that's not funny," Cole said. "That's not a good joke."
"What are you talking about?" Aaron asked. "What's the answer, in front?" Tamara looked even more upset.
"A head," she said. "A head. Get it?"
Verity Torres laughed a croaky little laugh. There was no laughter in her eyes, though. They stayed white and blank.
"Who did this to you?"
Aaron asked suddenly.
"Who?"
"It had to be Master Joseph," said Tamara. "Constantine had already left the battlefield by then. He was in the caves at the Cold Massacre."
"Busy stealing other people's bodies to live in,"
Jasper interrupted. And even though the words cut, Cole was staggered with relief that Constantine Madden couldn't have done this horrific thing, that he had been busy being reborn as Colum. Of course, the enemy had done other terrible things, but not this.
"That wasn't a true riddle,"
the head said, ignoring Aaron's question.
"That was just for practice."
"We've got to get out of here," Jasper said, babbling with terror. "We've got to go."
"Go where?"
Aaron demanded.
"There's hundreds of chaos ridden behind us."
He squared his shoulders.
"Ask away."
"So we begin,"
Verity said.
"What begins and has no end, yet is the ending of all that begins."
"Death,"
Cole said. That one was easy. He was glad. good at riddles was nowhere on the evil overlord list. There was a clicking, grinding noise, a bolt on the inside of the door sliding back.
Now the second riddle. I wear you down, yet you will mourn me once I fly. You can kill me, but I will never die. The enemy himself,
Call thought. But that wasn't a good riddle answer, was it? They exchanged looks. It was Tamara who spoke.
Time,
she said.
Another scraping noise. And now the last, said Verity. Take it, and you will lose or gain more than all others. What is it?
Silence. Cole's mind was racing.
Lose or gain. Lose or gain.
Riddles were always about something bigger than they seemed to be. Love. Death. Wealth. Fame. Life. There was no sound but the distant moaning of the chaos-ridden and Call's own breath until a sharp, shaking voice cut through the quiet.
Risk, said Jasper.
The head of Verity Torres let out a disappointed sigh. Those terrible eyes closed, and there was a last clicking noise. The door swung open. Call could see nothing beyond it but shadows. He was shaking suddenly, colder than he'd ever been in his life.
Risk.
He looked back at Aaron and Tamara, took a deep breath, and stepped over the threshold. The tomb was dimly lit by stones along the wall that reminded Call of the glowing rocks inside the Magisterium.
He was able to pick out a corridor leading to what looked like 5 chambers.
Turning back, he glanced at the assemblage of horrible, staring figures with their coruscating eyes. The leader fixed his gaze on Call. Call tried to make his voice firm.
Remain here, children of chaos. I will return.
They bent their heads as one. Disturbingly, Call saw that Havoc was among them. His wolf had also bent his head.
A wave of sadness overwhelmed him. What if Havoc had only stuck by him because he'd had to, because that was what he'd been created to do?
The idea was more than Call thought he could bear.
Call?
Tamara called. She was partway down the hallway, Aaron and Jasper beside her.
I think you better come see this.
He looked back at the army. Was he being ridiculous, not bringing at least one of them to protect him? He pointed to the leader.
Except you. You come with me.
Trying to push Havoc out of his thoughts, he limped inside the mausoleum. The leader of the chaos-ridden followed him, and Call watched as he shut the doors carefully behind them, blocking out the outside world. The leader turned around and looked expectantly at Call, awaiting instructions.
You're going to follow me, Call said. Protect me if anyone tries to hurt me.
A nod.
Do you have a name?
The chaos-ridden shook his head.
Fine, Call said. I'm going to call you Stanley. It's weird if you don't have a name.
Stanley had no reaction to this, so Call turned and started down the hall. He was halfway along the corridor when he heard Tamara call his name again.
Call! You need to come see this!
Call hurried to catch up with her. He found her with Aaron and Jasper, huddled in front of an alcove. As he and Stanley approached, they moved aside, letting Call have a clear view. Inside the alcove was a marble slab, and on top of the marble slab was the body of a dead boy with a mop of dark brown hair. His eyes were shut, his arms at his sides. His body was perfectly preserved, but he was clearly dead. His skin was waxy white, and his chest didn't rise or fall. though someone had dressed him in white funeral clothes. He still wore the wristband marking him as a student in his copper year. Carved on the wall behind him was his name, Jericho Madden. Piled around the body was an assortment of strange objects, a ratty-looking blanket beside a bunch of notebooks and dusty tomes, a small glowing ball that seemed to be almost depleted of its charge, a golden knife and a ring emblazoned with a sigil Call didn't recognize.
"Of course,"
Tamara whispered.
"The enemy of death wouldn't have built a tomb for himself. He didn't think he was going to die. He built this place for his brother. Those are his grave goods."
Aaron stared in fascination. Call couldn't speak. He felt something twist inside him, the yearning ache of something he'd hoped to feel when he saw his mother's handprint in the Hall of Graduates. A connection to love and family and the past. He couldn't stop staring at the boy on the slab and remembering the stories he had heard. This was the brother Constantine had wanted to resurrect. The brother whose loss led him to experiment with the void and create the chaos ridden. The brother whose death had caused him to make death itself his enemy. Call wondered if he would ever love anyone that much, to forswear everything else for him, to want to burn down the world to get him back.
"They were so young," said Aaron. "Jericho had to be our age, and Verity was just a little older. Constantine never even made it out of his 20s.
The mage war had consumed all of them like a fire. It was horrible to think about, but at the same time, Call had never heard anyone say Constantine's name with such compassion before. Of course, it was Aaron. He had compassion for everyone.
"Over here," said Jasper.
He'd wandered a little farther down the corridor and was staring into another alcove. The strange glowing stones along the walls cast an eerie light over his face.
"Someone we know."
Call knew who they would find before he got there. A skinny boy with stick-straight brown hair and freckles. His blue eyes closed forever. Drew. He remembered Drew's body the last time he'd seen it, and the way Master Joseph had enchanted it to close up its wounds, even though Drew was already dead. His body looked healed now, even if his spirit was gone. He had grave goods too, folded clothes and favorite games, a horse statuette, and a photograph of him with one arm around a smiling Master Joseph and the other around someone else, someone who'd been cut out of the picture. Call was about to pick up the photo and take a closer look when he heard muffled and distant voices coming from below them.
"Do you hear that?"
he whispered, walking away from Drew's body and down the hallway. Stairs receded into the gloom. They looked as though they'd been carved from solid rock, and it took Call a moment to realize that they must have been formed by magic.
"The time is closer than you think."
Call crept down the steps. The others followed more cautiously. He reached the bottom stair and looked around the cavernous, shadowy room. The darkness down here was deeper. The glowing rocks set into the walls more spread out. And then he saw it. The final body. Constantine himself. He was lying on a slab of marble, arms crossed over his chest. He had dark brown hair and sharp features. He might have been handsome if it wasn't for the livid burn marks that covered the right side of his face and disappeared down into his collar. They weren't as bad as Call had imagined, though, hearing the story of the enemy's burned face and the mask he'd worn. Constantine mostly looked normal. Horribly normal. He could have been anyone walking down the street.
Anyone at all.
Call took a step closer. Stanley lurched along behind him.
What do you see?
Aaron whispered from farther up the stairs.
Shh!
Call whispered back, moving to Constantine's body.
Stay there!
He could still hear voices coming through the walls.
Whispering ghosts?
His imagination? He wasn't sure of anything anymore. He couldn't stop staring at the body.
That's me,
he thought.
That's the face I grew up with first, before I became Colum Hunt.
Dizziness flooded him. He stumbled back against the wall into a shadowed nook just as an unseen door slid back, and Master Joseph entered the room, followed by Call's father. Call's heart thundered in his chest. They were too late to stop Alistair. Chapter 14 Master Joseph looked exactly as he had the last time Call had seen him, the same staff, the same uniform, and the same manic glint in his eye.
You have the Alcahest. Good,
he said to Alistair.
I knew that we'd be better off working together. Really, we both want the same thing.
Alistair, on the other hand, looked exhausted. His clothes were dirty. He wore old jeans and a beat-up anorak. He had beard stubble on his chin.
We do not want the same thing. I just want my son back.
My son.
For a second, when Call had first seen his father, he'd felt a rush of relief, a sense of familiarity. Now he felt like he'd been punched in the chest. He knew who his father wanted back, and it wasn't him. Master Joseph's gaze flickered toward the thick shadows where Call and Stanley stood. Call froze, trying to be as still as possible. He didn't even want to breathe for fear that he'd be noticed. Aaron and the others must have sensed that something was wrong, since they stayed safe in the stairway. As usual, Stanley took Call's lead and remained still as well. Alistair followed Master Joseph's gaze to where Call and Stanley stood in the dim light.
Chaos-ridden. You shouldn't just leave them around like that.
Every tomb needs sentries,
Master Joseph said. Maybe it was normal to find random chaos-ridden wandering around the tomb of Constantine Madden. Maybe he was just distracted by Alistair.
Your boy is dead, but he can rise again. You've raised Constantine, who was the greatest mage of our time, perhaps of any time, and who will be again. Once restored to his own body, he will be able to draw your son's soul back into his body. If you've truly repaired the Alcahest, then all we need is Colum.
I need a demonstration that the Alcahest won't kill him outright,
Alistair said.
I told you I wouldn't bring him to you unless I knew he'd be safe.
Oh, don't worry,
Master Joseph said.
I made sure Colum would be joining us.
Alistair took a step toward Master Joseph, and Call saw that Alistair was wearing the Alcahest on his left hand. It glittered as he moved his fingers, looking just like it had in the picture.
What do you mean?
I mean that he left the Magisterium looking for you, of course. Trying to save you from the wrath of the mages. I knew where he'd go, so I left him a trail to lead him straight to us. I even sent an escort to bring him safely here. I promise you, Alistair, I take great pains for his safety. He means far more to me than he does to you.
Call's heart thundered in his chest. He thought of the letters. The latitude and longitude carefully sketched out in each one, the mention of the specific date of the meeting, a meeting happening in just enough time for them to make it. Call had thought he'd been lucky, that he'd been one step ahead of the adults. But he'd been playing right into Master Joseph's hands. For a moment, Call lost his nerve.
He was just a kid.
His friends were just kids, even if one of them was the Makar. What if they were in over their heads? What if they couldn't help? Alistair started speaking, and, for a moment, Call couldn't even focus.
I can assure you, you are wrong, Alistair was saying. Colum means far more to me than he ever will to you. Stay away from him. I don't know if he's the greatest mage of his generation or any of that, but he's a good kid. No one has broken him the way you broke the Madden brothers. I remember them, Joseph. And I remember what you did to them.
Call felt an ache in his chest. Alistair didn't sound like he hated Call, even though he'd come here to trade for a new son.
Stop waving the alchemist around. You know that thing can't hurt me,
Master Joseph said, raising his staff.
Much as I wish I had the ability to use chaos magic, I don't, so there's no point in threatening me with it. The only reason the chaos-ridden listened to me is because Constantine commanded it. I'm not here to threaten you, Joseph,
Alistair said, taking a step toward the body of Constantine Madden. Master Joseph frowned.
All right. Enough. Give me the alchemist. I'd like to reward you, but don't think for a moment that I would hesitate to kill you if you resist me.
Very convenient. Dying in a tomb.
Won't have to go far to bury you.
Alistair took another careful step toward the body. Master Joseph raised his hand and a dozen thin cords of what looked like silver sprang out of the darkness. They wrapped around Alistair, binding him the way a spider binds a fly before feasting on it. Alistair yelled in pain, struggling to free his gauntleted hand.
Call had to do something. Stop! He shouted. Leave my father alone! Stanley, do something! Get him!
Both Master Joseph and Alistair stared as it became clear that they'd mistaken Call, standing at the bottom of the stairs, for one of the chaos-ridden. Stanley began to lurch toward Master Joseph, but Call's command had been so imprecise that he wasn't sure what the chaos-ridden might actually do. Master Joseph certainly didn't seem worried. He was ignoring Stanley as if he wasn't there. Instead, he began to smile.
We're coming down,
Aaron whispered. Call turned his head without meaning to and saw Tamara, Jasper, and Aaron moving down the stairs. He motioned them back.
Ah, Colum. So glad you could make it, said Master Joseph. I see you brought friends. Although I can't quite see which ones. Is that loyal Makar with you? What a pleasant surprise.
Stanley had nearly reached where Master Joseph stood.
We could win the war, Call thought. If I order Stanley to kill you, the war will be won.
But would it? Could the war ever be won for the side of good if the enemy was still alive?
Call, Alistair said, looking horrified. Get out of here!
Tamara and Jasper stumbled down to the last step. They were both clearly astonished by the sight of the enemy's body, and who was standing beside it. Aaron tried to get past them, but Tamara and Jasper moved to block him.
Let me through!
Aaron protested. He craned his neck to see what they were looking at.
Not a chance, said Tamara in a harsh whisper. Call's father has the alchemist. That thing could kill you.
Dad's right. You all need to leave, Call said. Get Aaron somewhere safe.
He could see the indecision on their faces. And he was torn too. He didn't want to put them in danger, but he also wasn't sure he could be as brave without them.
Look!
Jasper exclaimed. Stanley had reached Master Joseph. He grabbed him by the wrists and tugged them behind his back, holding Master Joseph trapped. Master Joseph didn't move. He was acting like it wasn't happening, like he wasn't being held against his will, like Call hadn't just immobilized him. Instead, he just stared across the room, his intense eyes burning holes in Call.
There is no need for this, Colum, said Master Joseph. Constantine, I am your most devoted servant.
I heard what you said to my father, Call told him,
and I'm not Constantine.
And you heard what your father said to me, what he was prepared to do.
Your only true home is here, with me.
Call moved to where his father stood. Alistair, the copper gauntlet firmly on his hand, was still struggling against the cords that bound him. He flinched away when he saw Call coming toward him.